It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Len Levinson and directed by Max Huttle. Notice the way that Mr. McGee explains the following point to Molly.
Molly, how much do you suppose a college education is worth to a young man nowadays?
I wouldn't know, McGee, but I expect a lot.
Well, I'll tell you how much it's worth. It's worth the difference between what he can earn with it and what he can earn without it.
Well, that certainly clears it up, dearie. Why don't you come right to the point and say that Prudential's education plan is a wonderful way for every mother and father to guarantee money for their children's education. Isn't that what you were getting at?
Yep.
And what better way to prepare for those college years than to start right now? Isn't that what you had in mind?
Yep.
And even if Dad isn't here when the time comes for the children to go off to school, you can be sure with a Prudential education plan that the money will be there to pay tuition, room and board, books, clothing, and all that. Isn't that what you were going to say?
Yep.
Well, you sure were getting off to a slow start.
Yep.
And all else aside, folks, I don't know of a better idea than to begin right now, little by little, building a Prudential insurance program for your children's education that will do the very things we've been talking about. Why don't you get in touch with your Prudential agent and get all the details?
Yep.
For the past 3 days, Mr. McGee has been practicing the noble profession of taxi driving, handling the job for the regular driver who's serving a jail sentence. Here he is cruising down 14th Street now.
Sure be glad when George Fraser gets out of jail and back into this cab, so I can get out of this cab and back into my carpet slippers. If it wasn't for me backseat driving him out to the airport Sunday, though, he wouldn't be in jail, and heck, why tell me, McGee? I know all that stuff.
Calling cab 13. Cab 13? Come in, 13. Hey, Mr. McGee!
Oh, that's me. Hi, dispatcher. Cab 13. Pilot to tower. Pilot to tower. It's me. Over.
Where are you, 13?
I'm right here. Why?
No, I mean where?
Oh, I'm just approaching the corner of 14th and Oak.
Oh, good. I got a call. Go to the Elks Club and pick up a fare.
Huh? The Elks? Oh, I'm headed in the wrong direction.
Well, turn around. You can do it.
Well, it's time for me to eat lunch. Yeah, lunchtime.
You've already had lunch, Mr. McGee. Look, this makes the third time you've ducked a pickup at the Elks Club today. Now, why? Thought you were an elk yourself.
Well, I am, but, well, before I came to work today, I was over there, and the way them guys were ducking me, avoiding me...
What?
Yes, sir. Leaning over the pool table with their heads together, hatching up some kind of a practical joke or something. They're laughing and giggling, and then when I'd come up and want to know what the joke was, they'd all go stiff-faced on me and give me a kind of a stupid look.
Oh, you probably just imagined.
Listen, I know them guys. I was there when we put the Tomcat in O'Hearn's suitcase when he went on his honeymoon.
What?
And I was there when they signed that movie starlet's name to the telegram that told old man McDonald she was suing him for breach of promise.
Ooh.
And when he come storming in and wanted to know if us guys knew anything about the telegram, which his wife had opened it and read it to him, I got the same kind of stupid look on my face that them guys gave me this morning. They're cooking up something, and I'm not having any.
Okay, I'll send somebody else. Well, you might as well pick up this lady who just phoned in. Go to 79 Wistful Vista.
79 Wistful Vista? But.
What's that, a flat tire?
No, that's my home. Oh, okay, I don't know who could be, or why she... Okay, I'll go see. You called for a taxi, miss?
That I did, driver.
Watch your head going in, please.
I want you to take me downtown, driver.
Yes, miss. Any specific place, miss, or just around the park?
No, take me to the Elks Club, driver.
Huh? Oh, Molly, have a heart. I don't want to go there.
Why, driver, I'm surprised. Are you a public utility who goes where he's told, or do I have to register a complaint?
A complaint? Against your very own husband? Gee whiz, Molly, what do you want to go to the Elks for? Wouldn't you rather go someplace else, like down to the Bon-Ton, where they got the big sales on it? Oh, my gosh, what am I saying?
I do not understand your reluctance to drive where a customer asks you to, driver.
Well, gee whiz, them guys at the Elks are cooking up something. They're all set to pull some kind of a dirty trick.
Oh, it's all your imagination, dearie. I mean, driver.
Okay. To the Elks Club, you said, madam?
Yes, and stop worrying. I'm sure the boys haven't any sort of gag hooked up at all. McGee, where are you taking me? This alley isn't wide enough. McGee, what are you doing?
Just using the old bean. Here you are, madam. The Elks Club.
Now, wait a minute. This isn't...
This is the back entrance. You didn't specify which. Step lively, baby. Don't bother about the fare. Your husband will take care of that.
But, McGee, you don't understand. McGee, you come back here this instant. McGee!
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute. You know, at times many women like to imagine what it would be like to lead an entirely different kind of life. Well, picture this. You have a husband and five children. Your life together is perfectly normal. Except that your husband spends every other night in a different house with another woman, his second wife. You'd say this would create a few problems, and it does. But you won't have any idea how many until you read the fascinating new novel, Up Home, in the April Ladies' Home Journal. The story concerns a man and his two wives who live in the deeply religious Mormon community of Salt Lake City in the 1890s. Of course, Mormon marriage laws had been changed in 1890, and husbands were permitted only one wife. But some husbands, like this one, already had two wives. Make sure you read the unforgettable novel, Up Home, in the April Ladies' Home Journal, now at your newsstand.
Calling cab 13. 13. 1-3. Come in, 13.
13, pilot to tower. It's me, over.
Where are you now, exactly?
I'm in front of 1315. Whoops, 1317. 1319 South Hallen Avenue, exactly.
Well, go over to Swope Street, corner 13th. That's close. A pickup.
Yes, sir. Just another 15 minutes and I go off duty. Looks like I've ducked them jokers at the Elks, too. It wasn't easy. Then I always say, if it's easy, everybody'd do it. Quite a motto there. Yes, sir. I could engrave that on the...
Hey, cab! Cabby, taxi!
Henry Lester, the grand exalted ruler of the Elks. Lucky. Well, I'm sorry, Henry. I got a call to the corner of 13th and Swope, and
this
I can't...
This is the corner of 13th and Swope, driver, and I'm the guy who called the cab. Well, come on, boys.
Hey, what's the idea? You guys been laying for me, that's what. Now, wait a minute. This cab only holds five.
The Elks Club, Hacky.
I might have known. Yes, sir. All of you?
No, you can split the cab in two and take half of us to the depot.
Hey, watch out for that truck.
Don't worry, Henry. This man of ours drives like a truck driver. Let the trucks worry.
Is the meter on? Yes. Well, he usually forgets to turn it on.
What a friend he turned out to be.
Hey, there's a bump ahead.
I see it.
Oh, please, doctor, get out of my lap.
Driver, what was the idea? You deliberately...
Yes, you pointed it out to me, sir. So I thought you requested me to go over it, sir.
Of all...
Now, Henry, you mustn't get angry with the poor old driver. He doesn't see very well, or hear very well, or feel very
well.
Stop signal.
Why,
lose something down there?
Of all the ham-handed, blockhead.
Please, if you fellas will take your feet out of my face, I'll get up off the floor.
Oh, excuse me, Wimple. Here, let me help you out. Driver. Why didn't you turn down 14th Street? The clubhouse is on 14th Street.
If you gentlemen will just sit back and relax.
What's the idea, you wild man?
Woman driver. She's just learning.
Oh, that was a close one.
I hope we get there while I'm still in one or two pieces. Tell me when I can open my eyes.
Ah, wouldn't you know it? The whole danged membership all out in front of the Elks Club. Well, here you are.
Pay the man, Doc.
Pay the man, Wimple.
Pay the man, Henry.
How much is it, taxi?
You can read the meter. 55 cents.
Oh, so it is. Here you are. 60 cents and keep the change.
Yeah. Enjoy that ride.
Oh, darn it, I left a parcel in that cab. Hey, cabbie.
Yeah?
I forgot a package in the back of the cab. Bring it in, cabbie.
Who does that big ape think he's ordering around? Me, I guess. Yes, sir. Coming, sir. Hey, wait a minute. Here's your... I'll have to go in and face that whole mob. Oh, well. Hey, Mr. Lester. Your parcel. Here it is, sir.
What? Oh, that. Why, that's not my parcel, McGee.
But...
It's yours. Go on, open it up.
Well, what are you waiting for? Open it.
Well, I don't know what the gag is, but... Okay. Looks like a... Oh, no, it's a... I can't figure out what it...
Well, turn it over, Mr. McGee.
Huh? Oh, what's this?
Well, it looks like a silver plaque.
The Jolly Good Fellowship Award of the Month of the Wistful Vista Elks to Brother McGee. But why?
McGee, we all knew that you not only helped George Fraser out of a bad spot when he had to go to traffic jail, but you stuck to it, even when we put you on the pan just now. Did we have a time getting you here?
Oh, boy.
And now, here's a couple of surprises.
George Fraser.
Hi, Mr. McGee.
What are you doing out of jail?
He got time off for good behavior, McGee.
And Molly.
McGee, I kept trying to get you in here without spoiling the surprise.
Gee, Molly, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything, Brother McGee. We'll say it. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny.
Oh,
sure. Fibber and Molly will be right back.
Don't miss this year's special spring offer from Dial Soap. A genuine leather clutch bag for just two wrappers and $1, including tax. A regular $3.50 value, it's a combination handbag and zippered billfold of soft, supple leather, the type featured in fashion magazines. Comes in five wonderful spring colors, scarlet flame, spring green, pastel pink, lemon yellow, champagne. Carry it alone, as a handbag, or in your purse. Cleans easily with a damp cloth, grows lovelier with use. Such a bargain, you'll want several colors and extras for party prizes. You'll find order blanks in stores, in ads in magazines and Sunday papers, or order direct. For each clutch bag, just enclose a $1 bill and two Dial wrappers, regular or bath size. Print your name, address, and colors wanted. Send to Dial, Box 7967, Chicago 77. That's Dial, Box 7967, Chicago 77. Save money. Order your genuine leather clutch bag right away.
The Jolly Good Fellow of the Month. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, well. Ah, boy, am I tired. Sitting in that cab all day has got me wore out.
You poor dear. You look tired. Why don't you take a warm foot bath before you go to bed?
Foot bath?
Yes, that'll relax you, relieve the tension.
That ain't where I'm tense, Tootsie. No, I'll just go to bed. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Bill Thompson as Mr. Wimple and Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. Tyler McVeigh played Henry Lester and Mary Lansing, the dispatcher. This is John Wald inviting you back tomorrow night to see a very strange sight with Mr. Wimple and the McGees and hear how Fibber takes advantage of it. Good night.
Share the excitement of the Academy Award winners tonight on the NBC Radio Network.